Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
We're excited for the opportunity.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
Yeah, I want a guy to hit a three and point to the passer.
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back to the Arabian Sports Network's Coaches Show. I'm your host, Liam Davis. Short along is my co-host, Benson Davis. How are you doing today, Benson?
Doing just fine. Happy to be part of the Davis duo today.
The Davis duo is back and better than ever. We'll get you guys here with some Arabian sports, starting off with girls basketball. Unfortunately, they did end their season last week on Saturday against Center Grove, losing 50-45 in the regional championship. Benson, do you want to get further into that game?
Yeah, I know throughout the season, Coach Rogers had some concerns about how the team did in the second half, kind of like took their foot off the pedal, and seemed like for a while they were doing just fine. But this Center Grove game, they just kind of, you know, second half was a struggle for sure. Pendleton scored, was 28 points at the end of the first half to Center Grove's 21. And then second half, Pendleton scored 17 total while Center Grove scored 29. So just kind of gave up a big kind of lead for the Arabians. And again, Center Grove is a fantastic team, undefeated. So can't really, you know, harp on the Arabians too much. But that second half was definitely a struggle.
Yeah, the second half was very much a struggle. Center Grove only had five players that took a shot, and they were led by Grayson Gilliard, who also Center Grove made it to state, so congratulations to them. But Grayson Gilliard ended up with 27 points, and Pendleton Knights' leading scorer was Ada Hupfer, who ended up with 19 points. And Pendleton Knights was kind of off throughout, 2 points, 4 points, 6, 4, 8, 0, 2, just all over the place. Center Grove was more compact. So Pendleton Knights, I think they could have done a better job guarding Grayson Gilliard, but of course she's a great player and led them to state after beating, hold on, let me fact check this. I don't know exactly who they beat. They beat Lawrence Central. Do you want to guess what the score of that game was real quick, Benson?
Let's go 60-45.
29-26, Center Grove won.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a very low scoring game.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Grayson Gilliard ended up with 18 points in that game. So congrats to them. They will play Norwell.
Okay.
In this state championship game.
Can't be too disappointed if you're the Arabians. If you end up, you know, if Center Grove ends up winning the chip, you know, losing to the champions, you can never be too mad about.
Yeah, last year Pendleton Knights did just that. They lost to Warsaw in the regional championship, and then Warsaw would go on to win state. Oh, no, Lawrence North. Sorry. Wow. Lawrence North won state, and they lost to Lawrence North in regionals. But Ada Hupfer ended off her season 20.5 points. Olivia Jones in her last season of high school basketball ended up with 13 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, and 4 assists a game. Pretty good career for Olivia Jones. She's going on to Hope College to continue her basketball career.
Congrats to her.
But now we'll get on to the boys' basketball side of things. They had three games last week, starting off with Newcastle at home. They would go on to win that. Well, I guess technically Whiteland is whenever they first led off. And they would go on to win that game 57-54. We kind of talked about that one last week, though. And then they started off on Tuesday against Newcastle, won that game 55-34. Then Delta on Thursday won that game 60-40, then traveled to Muncie Central on Saturday and won that game 76-66. We'll kind of go in order for these games. Benson, do you want to dive deeper into the Newcastle one?
Yeah, I guess starting with that Newcastle one, pretty big decisive win for an in-conference win, you know, win by 20. And that was the third straight home win for the Arabians. They had a stretch of four games from Mississinewa, Whiteland, Newcastle, and Delta where they won four straight home games. So definitely a big confidence booster. But at that Newcastle game, it was just all Arabians the entire time. You had guys like Cooper Sims who dropped 28 points, which barely put him on the cusp of almost scoring 1,000 points, which he ended up doing right at Muncie Central. Yes. So congratulations to him. But he really kind of led the way. Second leading scorer was Brant Gray with 7. So big discrepancy there. Cooper Sims took a lot more shots than everybody else, but he was super efficient, 69% efficiency from the field.
Yeah, going 11 for 16 from the field. You just got to keep shooting at that point. And also Sam Baker got his first start in his high school career. He played really good. He didn't shoot the ball, though, unfortunately, but he did have an assist, a couple steals, and a block out there. So that was a good start for him. And then he got the start once again against Delta due to the absence of Ashan Singh. And Pelton Heights won the game 60-40. Cooper Sims ended up with 24 points. He had a four-point first half, I believe. And then he'd go on to score 20 in the second half, going 11 for 15 from the field. Brant Gray followed that up with 10 points, going 4 for 8 from the field.
Efficiency from Cooper has got to be studied. He's been super efficient from the field. Yes. Something, especially in high school basketball, you don't see a lot of. I believe the national average is somewhere in the 40s. So Cooper Sims having a great end of the season and end of his high school career. And Brant Gray, way to step it up from him. He's been the second leading scorer the past few games. And that's what you want to see from a junior who needs to take the spot of Cooper Sims or and Ashan, you know, guys like that that are going to be leaving next year.
Yeah, going back against Newcastle, Cooper Sims, 26 minutes, 28 points. And then the game against Delta, he had 28 minutes played, 24 points. Some crazy efficiency there. And then going on to the Muncie Central game where the boys won that game 76-66 to win their fifth game in a row before senior night. Cooper Sims ended up with 23 points, eclipsed the 1,000-point mark on a free throw, going 5 for 12 from the field. Brant Gray and Clark Emily also ended up with 16 points. Clark Emily getting his first start since really early in the season with James Hughes not in the lineup. Clark Emily ended up with a double-double, 16 points, 12 rebounds.
That's a guy you don't see, you know, he's usually out there, like you mentioned, kind of a six-man, seventh-man substitution, but he got the start and he executed really well. 16 points, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that's a season high for him. Not a huge score, mostly gets in there for rebounds and second-chance buckets, but 16 points on 55% efficiency is pretty great for Clark Emily.
Yeah, and you said, correct me if I'm wrong. Unfortunately, I will have to correct you there. He did score 20 points against LaPel, 20 points, 10 rebounds against Muncie Central. That was his third double-double of the year. His first double-double since Lebanon, I believe. And that was a long time ago. He also ended up the Lebanon game with 16 points. But Clark Emily just did a great job, especially with James Hughes not in the lineup. But that'll about wrap up thing. Or sorry, let's say about one more person in the Muncie Central game. Ashan Singh, first game back in the lineup, 13 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal.
Revenge game. Comes back 67% efficiency from the field. That's what you want to see from a guy like Ashan Singh. He's been very efficient all year. Before his departure. For that brief period of time, he was actually leading the team in three-point percentage. Now, he didn't take a lot. But he doesn't shoot. Yeah, he doesn't shoot the ball a lot. But when he does, he's been money. And this game kind of shows that 6-for-9, 67% efficiency.
Yeah, Ashan Singh not really playing much last week. He did end up with 30 minutes out of a 32-minute game. So that's pretty crazy to think about. The stamina that he lost during the time that he was out to now. Still playing 30 minutes a game, scoring 13 points, 9 rebounds. He was one rebound away from a double-double. Cooper Sims took that late in the game, and Sean let Cooper hear that post-game. But congrats to the Pelton Heights Boys Arabians basketball team for going 3-0 this week. Some more sports to talk about. Boys swimming at their sectional prelims. Of course, we can't really get much stats from that.
I don't know if we had any regional advancers from the boys' side. Might be wrong.
Yeah, there might have been a couple. I know Connor Weflin posted on Instagram a little bit about placing kind of high in sectionals, but I don't know.
Got fourth. I think they're right on the cusp. Yeah, their relay. So, but congrats to the boys team on the sectional side. I wish we had the stats for you guys, but congrats.
Yeah, and that will about wrap up this first segment of me and Benson talking to you guys about last week's sports. Stay tuned for some coaches' interviews, player interviews, and some more about the next week. You are listening to the Arabian Sports Network's Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Vitor Salon and Style, haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at detoursalonandstyle.com.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by the Adam Custer Insurance Agency, American Family Insurance, Home, Auto, Life, Farm, and Commercial Insurance in Pendleton and Oaklanden. 765-221-2082.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined alongside head Arabian boys basketball coach Jared Rhodes. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. You had a busy week last week, taking on the likes of Newcastle Delta as well as Muncie Central. How are you feeling after a three-game week?
Yeah, going 3-0 on the week makes you feel pretty good about it. But I feel good about it for the fact that we had a little adversity. We were without some guys, and we got to play different lineups. Saturday night at Muncie, we had two sophomores on the floor, like in the first half. Not oh, we're up, let's clear the bench. We had two, Jace Washington and Braxton Young were both in the game with, I think, 2 or 3 minutes left in the first half. So we got to play different rotations and see how different guys compete, because come sectionals, you never know what you're going to need.
Yeah, with, you know, your one of your busiest weeks of the season in three games, how's the wear and tear of this team feeling?
I think it's okay. We're a little dinged up, but that's part of it. Every team goes through that. We're to the phase now where we're not going to go crazy long at practice. We're going to go about our work and be efficient and get out of there. Cause keeping bodies fresh does matter. Injuries are part of it. And if we're in a situation where we lose a guy and we can't compete, then our program's not where we need it to be. I mean, you're always gonna have your better players and role players, right? Like, roles matter, but we got to be able, it's next man up. So if guy goes down, you got to be ready and you got to fill the void.
This week in all three games, it really seemed like the first half, you guys competed, you played good basketball, but the second half, you really took a stride to knock the other team out and go home with a victory. How do you start better in the later half, you know, postseason and your Centerville game Wednesday?
I don't know, give a better speech at before the game. I don't know. I didn't think we necessarily get off to like terrible starts.
It was competing. That's why I bring it up, because it's a drastic change after halftime, especially that Delta game.
It felt like, yeah. So Delta, we got off to a decent start. Second quarter was very frustrating. Now part of this is I want the mentality of our team and our program to be, it's about us and we get to dictate how the game goes. And I think that is almost entirely true, but there is another team, and like Delta got hot in that second quarter. But we discussed all the travel calls that night. We discussed that at halftime. You know, at Muncie, we discussed rebounding the basketball at halftime. So it was, we got to address specific things and then the guys responded. But to your point, we got to be ready to go. Centerville's good this week and then sectionals next week. We don't get to have a bad, you know, a bad 4 minutes could end your year. And we can't take it for granted.
Yeah, so obviously sectionals drawn yesterday. I'll set the scene for the listener. You and the team are at Cooper Sims' house. You're eating Canes, and you see Anderson pop up the first matchup. What goes through your head first?
Well, we did a draw. Everybody in the program, coaches included, we picked who we thought we would get. Not who we wanted, but just... Yeah. And I did not pick Anderson. And so now I have to run a sprint at practice today. So I'm not thrilled about that one. That was first thought. I was like, oh boy, I got to run. But I like the Anderson matchup. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's like, I don't like it from the standpoint of like, oh, this is going to be a blowout win. We don't need to play our best. But I like it for the standpoint of what that game means to our school anyway. It's fitting that like the first win in my tenure and kind of the thing that got this, we've had a great season. Mm-hmm. And from our vantage point, we let a few slip away. It could have been really, really special, but it has been a great year. And it started at Anderson. And now we get a chance to kind of knock them off, end their year, would be fitting just because it's kind of a rivalry, right? Like, but again, that's not one where it's like, oh, you can play bad and get out of here. Like, it's going to take our best effort. But I just thought the natural rivalry, you know, we're close to each other. We hadn't beat them in a while. We got over that hump to start the year, just kind of for our program's sake and kind of our school's sake, like, you know what? We can go get those guys.
Yeah, taking a look at the bracket, Greenfield, the host school, got a bye, as well as Mount Vernon, the best record in the sectional tournament for sectional 9. You know, some people don't love that. They prefer a seeding-based bracket. What are your thoughts?
It's unique. I don't know how many states do a blind draw. I should have done some prep work before the coaches show today. So I came from Pennsylvania the last couple of years, and there it is seeded. And seeding is based off strength of schedule. Like, you get points for wins against different classes. So like, there's a lot that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel more tournament, like NCAA tournament-ish, right? Like, the last couple games of the year, you're paying attention. And not everyone in Pennsylvania makes their set. There it's called districts, but same thing. This is unique. For us to win sectionals, we're going to have to most likely beat Mount Vernon anyway, right? So, like... Mm-hmm. Whether we play them on Saturday, Friday, Tuesday, it's kind of irrelevant. You got to do what you got to do. But I think, like, us getting Greenfield on Friday, if we're able to win Tuesday and get to go play at their place for a away game, like, that's exciting. Like, this is – but as a head coach, first time going through it, the sectional draw, it did seem it's unique. I mean, that's the only way I have to say. I know a lot of Hoosiers take pride in it.
Mm-hmm.
If it changed, I wouldn't be completely opposed. Because we would have been the 2 seed anyway, mm-hmm. right? So this year, we were good enough to be the 2 seed. We would have been opposite Mount Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels seeded with the kind of way it played out. But again, I don't make enough money to make big decisions like that. I'll just worry about coaching defense.
Yeah, so you mentioned odds are you play Mount Vernon in the championship because they're on the other side. And it's funny you said that because I can kind of use this against you here. The two teams you're set to face, you know, ahead, assuming you beat Anderson, you'd face Greenfield. You've knocked off Anderson and Greenfield. How much of this are you thinking about Mount Vernon and kind of, I don't want to say practicing for them, but odds are you're going to have to play the Mount Vernon Marauders at some point later in this this March slate.
None at all from the standpoint of the players and what the players are doing or talking about. Coaching staff, like, each assistant has a scout. So each assistant has a team that they are the main point of scouting. So the guys that don't have a sectional opponent left as a scout, they're watching Mount Vernon and Richmond and Muncie. They'll be doing the advanced scouting on that other side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I will not make the mistake of in sectionals, my first sectional, of overlooking any opponent. We are like right now today at practice, we will not talk about sectionals. We are worried about Centerville. And then on Thursday, we get to go over to Greenfield and get in the gym and practice over there. Then we will be entirely focused on Anderson. And after Anderson, I mean, so we may throw a drill or two in throughout the next week and a half for something it would take to knock off Mount Vernon. But we're not going to spend a bunch of time on it just because we don't get there. Who cares? Like, we got to take care of business Wednesday, and we need to take care of business that first round.
Do you feel like you're prepared to play in that round two game, assuming you're able to knock down Anderson and Greenfield, and then on, you know, back-to-back games, go into Greenfield and take on like number four in the state, Mount Vernon, with not a lot of prep time?
At that point, it's just do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's win or go home. So, like, you're either going to get up for that, make plays, or you're not. We could scheme up all kinds of different things. The reality is Luke Ertl is really, really good. So, like, even on short, even if we had 3 weeks to prepare,
mm-hmm.
it gets about making plays. And it's the same. I feel that way. I feel that way about most games. But that short turnaround, for sure. Like, you just don't have enough time to scheme the way maybe you normally would. Plus, we don't really scheme that much anyway. Like, we've got our systems. We've got things. Other things we practice and other things we can do, but like our systems are there to put guys in a position where they can go make plays. And that's a sectional week. Like Sean Singh, Cooper Sims, like, you guys won it. You got to make more plays than they do tonight. And I'll start Tuesday with Anderson.
Well, that'll wrap it up for this interview. Thanks for joining me, Coach.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for more on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on today's Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm your host, Zion Palmieri, joined alongside Pendleton Heights High School's athletic director, Mr. Chad Smith. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. So since we've last talked, there's been a lot of new additions to the Hoosier Heritage Conference. So we're going to kind of go all over the place with this interview, but we'll start with the landscape of the Hoosier Heritage Conference right now. So three new teams have recently joined: Rebuff, Jesuit, Lebanon, as well as Garen Catholic. What do they bring to the conference?
Well, I think they bring, vast differences between all the schools, but also bring us some balance that we were looking for in the conference. I think it wasn't a secret. There were four private schools that applied for the conference, and not having an opportunity to speak to the public necessarily all the time to explain what the reason and the thinking were on certain teams and this and that. Just for me personally, I felt like bringing four private schools into the conference really changed the landscape of the conference and would lean towards the private. And there's not a whole lot of difference now with the way that education is going outside of athletics, with school choice and all that. So there's not a huge difference, but I also still wanted to have that leaning towards public school. the majority vote necessarily when on important matters. And so I think we accomplished that with the two private schools and then Lebanon, a public school coming in. And then I think just competition level wise, we've just already, we took a conference that was already tough and now has made it tougher. So, that's a good thing for our student athletes. But it's also a challenge and I know our coaches and our athletes will be up for that.
Yeah, so the Hoosier Heritage Conference extended invites to the three schools that did join. From the process of invitation to now they are in the conference in the future, what does that process look like?
Well, it's difficult. It really is. Some really tough conversations happen between conference schools, the existing conference schools, and sometimes some feelings are hurt in those conversations. And that's tough because we, as a group, as athletic directors, as principals at our conference, we have a really strong a strong relationship with the schools. We value each other. We are committed to each other and are loyal to each other. But in the end, you have to do what's best for your own school. And those, so those tough conversations have happened over the last year and a half to 2 years. And we finally landed where we did, and we extend those invites. And now the even tougher part happens because now you begin to start to adjust the schedules and all the sports, and that's where it gets really difficult, and that's where people like me will earn their paycheck now.
Yeah, how important it was for you to keep this conference at 8? Because obviously it drops down below, and the three schools put it back at 8-member schools.
Well, it's tough to have a conference, in my opinion. It's tough to have a conference anything less than 8. I think 8 is the ideal number. It sets you up perfectly in football scheduling. To go any lower than that, it can be done, but it's just difficult. I think you look at the teams now, you know, we were fortunate enough to be able to fill the vacancies on our schedule for next year in football. We added Kokomo in week 3 and then Southport replacing Shelbyville in the final week. Those are things that people, I don't think, understand how difficult that is. There'll be some people in our conference still looking for schools. I know that Greenfield was one that they were considering playing a team from Chicago. So those are really difficult because teams aren't available because they're already committed to their conference in those weeks. And so scheduling is just extremely difficult, but 8 is just a good number. That's what we've been comfortable with in the conference. There were discussions to go to 10. There were discussions to maybe offer some a combination or bring in other parts of conferences and go as high as 12. But I think ultimately we all felt best 8 was where we wanted to be. And we, through some hard work and tough conversation, we got there.
What are these middle bridge years going to look like until everything is fully final set? You mentioned the difficulty in scheduling opponents to fill where conference will later step in. For Pendleton Heights specifically, what will that look like in the next few years?
Well, it may not look a big difference because we have already played some of those teams. Lebanon's been on our schedule. Gary Catholic's been on our schedule. And Brebeuf, we have kind of sprinkled in here and there. So we'll look to add them in. The first thing, the integration part, will be through the individual competition sports. So, it's probably not, we were already looking at track in the spring and maybe bringing them in for the conference tournament or the conference meet. That's not going to work out because they already had a committed date with their county meets. We're already on those days that our conference meets are on, so those aren't going to work out. But we'll try to integrate them in the individual sports, tennis, golf, things like that. And then they'll be, full-blown on the schedule in all sports the following school year. So that'll be, 27, 28. So next year, you'll see them added in some areas where we can. I just was having conversations last night with Brebeuf and Garen both about trying to get them on JV baseball schedule and a JV softball game. Just trying to get them in so that our kids can get used to playing at that competition level.
Yeah, final question here about the conference. This is your first time, long tenured athletic director, your first time being in the conversations of adding schools to the Hoosier Heritage Conference, was this all really new? New to you? Did you have to learn this process, or was it something you were aware of?
Yeah, it's something you learn, and it's not anything that you really enjoy doing. To be honest with you, it's difficult. And like I said, there were some really tough conversations that when you walked away, I consider the ADs in our conference are friends also. And those were tough nights going to sleep, knowing that somebody, you had upset somebody that day or they had upset you. And, you know, in the end, we all make up and hug it out and we'll move on. But, you know, it's difficult. I don't want to do that. But I'll tell you, it was really important to me because I knew the work that went in. I was kind of around as an athlete in high school when this conference started. We were a charter member, founding member. So it was important to me that no matter what happened with the other schools, the name Hoosier Heritage Conference remained with us and that we remained committed to that conference and did whatever we had to do to make sure that we were able to maintain the Hoosier Heritage Conference. I think it has a great name statewide, a great reputation, and we were a founding member and we wanted to still be a part of that. So there were some options looking at other conferences. We had some invites and those just really weren't entertained because it's just something that we just weren't interested in doing.
That's really cool to know. We'll transition here to talk about the basketball side of things. Since we last talked, you had hired Coach Jared Rhodes, but we were talking about football at the time, so we really didn't cover it. So going all the way back to last year, talk to me about that hiring process. Was it difficult? Was it easy?
Well, it's always difficult because you always want to try to find the best coach that you can, but you also sometimes the best coach may not be the best fit. Mm-hmm. For what you're trying to accomplish or the vision that you have for your department or that particular program. And he just checked all the boxes. He fit in, well, as far as I can tell, I think everybody in the building has really taken to him. He's a real people person. Kids seem to enjoy having him in class, and that's important that he's a teacher in the building and has those relationships with kids outside of basketball. And he's been able to build those and he's just a lot of fun to have around. And so when you have guys like that, it actually makes the process easier, but it is a difficult process because you always, we go back, we were forced to make a coaching change a couple years ago in July, and the timing to find someone that can come and teach and be a basketball coach, that's just not ideal in the middle of July. And Coach Buck was somebody that I knew that I could lean on for 2 years to be able to get us through that process. And so I'm happy for our seniors because I promised them that this, if they stuck with me, this was going to be what would happen in the end when they come out on the other side of the coaching changes. And so I'm happy for them to be able to experience the success they're having right now.
I feel like a lot of Pendleton coaches are homegrown talent, so to speak. They're from Pendleton or a neighboring area. Coach Jared Rhodes is all the way up north where he's from, still in Indiana. Was it ever a thought to you of like, you know, this guy isn't from Pendleton, it might be a little different, or was that not something you thought about?
Well, again, it just goes into do you think he's going to be a good fit? And I think that he fits well in our community. He fits well here within the education part of things in the building. And so, not necessarily being from here, you still, this is a good community that we welcome a lot of people when they do come in. And unfortunately, the way the process ended, with the day that I offered him the job, the day before he closed on a house in Yorktown. So his intent still has, I think we're going to get him to our community eventually, but at just the way the timing was, you know, they needed a place to live and that's where they landed. And they closed on a house right before we offered him the job. So I should have just been a little quicker. Maybe could have backed out of that and we could have got him over here, but we'll get him here eventually. That's the plan.
All right. Final question about boys basketball. They're having a lot of success this year. First year over 500 since 2016, 2017. How affirming has it been for you and the rest of the athletic department that at face value, currently, you've made the right choice, and he's leading this program like coaches we've seen in previous.
Well, he is. He's done a really good job, and I'm not shocked. I knew that we had, and that was the conversation that Coach Buck and I had when he decided to step away after last year. His intent really was to go another year because he wanted this senior class to not have a third basketball coach during their time, but the type of person that he is also, he said, you know, we're going to win next year. And I think now would be the time to make that change, to get a new coach off to the right step. And Coach Buck has had his success here. And so he didn't need trophies. He didn't need to cut nets anymore. He's unselfish and he wanted to put somebody in a good spot. And so Coach Rhodes, you know, has done a good job, but he also stepped into a good situation. And that's hard to do because usually when coaching positions are open, there's a reason why they're open. Usually the talent level may not be there or it's just a bad situation. And I think we were the opposite. We were a good situation to step into and you had some talent coming back. So he stepped into it was a good opportunity for somebody and he's stepped in and made it his own. That's the thing that I really enjoy about it is he's very conscious about traditions and how we used to do things, but also wants to do it his way. And I'm in full support of that for sure.
We'll wrap this up here by talking about girls basketball. Of course, they won their back-to-back sectional title here at Joe Buck Court. What did that mean for the Pendleton Heights Athletic Department to win it here on their home court?
Well, you know, it's all about the kids. Like, it doesn't really mean anything to our athletic department where we would. The fact that you win is the most important thing, but it is fun. It was fun for me because we've hosted sectionals over the years, and I've done both sides of it. I've handed the trophy to our own kids, and I've handed them to other teams, and nothing's worse when you host a tournament, a sectional or something, and your team's not even playing in the championship game. That's really, which was the case a couple years ago in girls basketball. So it's fun to give out the trophy to your own kids because you know the effort that they put into things but the most important thing is they had a goal they wanted to accomplish. They got that done, whether it was here or whether it was at Greenfield or Mount Vernon, wherever they would have done that. I'm sure if you would have told them they could have the trophy, it doesn't matter where you get it, they would have taken that deal. but it was special to them. I know that also. I know that's special to climb the ladder and cut the nets in your own gym that you've put a lot of work in. So really proud of them. I was excited to be able to do that night.
You've talked a lot to me about, you know, the youth side of things and how, you know, the coaches you hire need to be good people and how they need to not specifically integrate the really young teams and get them to be familiar with this high school level. But girls basketball has done a great job with that. And to win it in their home courts and so many young Arabians being in attendance, how big do you think that was for this community?
Well, I think people, and I'm glad you point that out because I think people need to know that, or if they didn't notice it, you know, when you see little younger kids, the youth, the elementary age kids standing down on the baseline while the players are cutting the nets and they're staring up, that's when you know you have a program. That's when you know that you're not just a high school basketball team. You got a program that serves your community. And Coach Rogers has done an excellent job since he's taken over of building that up. And they do a lot of things that involve our youth players. They do a sister program. So, you know, you got a big sister and a little sister. So one of our high school players takes on that role with a youth player builds that relationship and, you know, again, when they're there idolizing those high school kids, that's when you know you got a program and they've done a great job in that.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for this interview. Appreciate you joining me today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Stay tuned for more on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group. Retirement planning, risk management, and legacy planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001. Or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Do you know what a high school athletic administrator does every day? A lot.
Athletic administrators hire coaches, schedule referees, and organize games. They maintain facilities, purchase equipment, and arrange transportation.
They prepare budgets, secure sponsorships, and oversee school safety. They coordinate volunteers, communicate with parents, and handle public relations, and so much more.
Not only are they educators, but athletic administrators are mentors and marketers, accountants and HR managers, fundraisers and problem solvers.
They wear so many hats. They have to work long hours to do it all. And we couldn't play high school sports without them.
To every athletic administrator in Indiana, thank you for everything you do to make education-based athletics possible.
We see you, we salute you, and we are thankful for you.
I'm Commissioner Paul Neidig. Show your appreciation for athletic administrators by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is recognizing their role. This is applauding their work. This is your IHSAA.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by Adam Christensen, Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, Life, Auto, Home, and Farm Insurance located at 6521B South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-1754 or online at infarmbureau.com.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you back to the Arabian Sports Network's Coaches Show, where you're joined by the Davis Duo of Liam Davis and Benson Davis. We'll get you guys to some of the next week things in sports. It's mainly going to be a boys basketball segment, but we'll start talking about some more sports also. But first, boys basketball. They have senior night on Wednesday against Centerville at home. Tip-off's at 7:30. Pregame show will start at 7:15. Centerville, they're having a great year. They're staying at 20-2. Their only losses being to Bloomington South, who's a top-ranked team of the state, and Richmond, which was at Richmond. They lost that game by two. Kind of an off game for Centerville, but Centerville obviously having a great year. They did have someone pass the Centerville all-time lead scorer list with Shea Hollendonner, who I'm checking right now how much points he eclipsed. He has a total of 1,536 points in his career.
Wow. Wow, that's truly incredible.
Yeah, Cooper Sims just hit 1,000, right, and he's staying at 1,536.
Right.
But that's a great season for Shea Hollendonner. Great season for Centerville. It's going to be a tough matchup. Centerville just beating Liberty Christian by 9 at Liberty Christian. Pendleton Knights played Liberty Christian earlier in the year as well. At Liberty Christian, won that game 62-39. So it's going to be a pretty balanced game. Centerville also, like you mentioned, beat Garen Catholic before we started recording, whereas Pendleton lost to Garen Catholic.
In overtime, right?
Yes.
But this is definitely going to be one of those games that's going to be a dogfight all the way through, back and forth, Hollendonner versus Sims. It's going to be a matchup that in probably one of the best ones all year in terms of just how even these teams are on paper. And obviously, you know, things can happen, but I'm very excited for this one, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how this game plays out. You know, how are these teams going to match each other, both very high-scoring, efficient offenses?
Yeah, Centerville obviously led by Shea Hollendonner, 20.4 points a game. And their next leading scorer is Landon Kaiser, who's averaging right around 12 points a game. And then Jace Hollendonner, who is Shea Hollendonner's brother, sophomore guard, averaging 9.5 points a game. Pretty even balanced, especially for points a game-wise, compared to Centerville and Pendleton Knights. Cooper Sims up to 21.7 points a game now. Dan Brake Ray close up next with 7.8, and Clark Emily with 7.4 points a game.
Yeah, you can kind of see the resemblance there. Kind of a leading scorer ahead of the pack, and you got two guys that kind of interchangeably and score a lot of points. But it'll be interesting to see, because this Arabians team has proven to be so deep. You know, you've got guys like Clark Emley, like Ashan Singh, like Bennett Long, like Sam Baker, that can kind of sub in at any point and make a difference. So we'll see how deep the Centerville team is. Is Pendleton able to wear them out a little bit? And this will be a very fun game.
Yeah, and also coming up is boys sectionals. We had the draw last night. Boys basketball drew Anderson in the first round. The winner of that game will play Greenfield Central. And then the top part of the bracket, it is Muncie Central versus Richmond. And whoever wins that game will move on to play Mount Vernon. This all is being held at Greenfield Central as well.
Mount Vernon getting the bye. Yeah, good for them. They're a good team. They'll be definitely tough to get through.
Yeah, hopefully Pendleton Heights makes it to sectional championship. Mount Vernon makes it to sectional championship. And that would be a Pendleton versus Mount Vernon sectional championship, which would be a really good game. But the first game that they got to win is Anderson. Anderson staying at 14-7. Pendleton Heights beat them for the first time in right around 10 years, I believe, at Anderson in the very first game of the year.
Wow.
And Anderson, I'm looking at their schedule right now. Common opponents, they lost to Muncie Central by 2, lost to LaPel by 10, lost to Hamilton Southeastern by 7, lost to Mount Vernon 62-49, lost that game by 13, Pendleton Heights lost that game by 15, and then they beat Liberty Christian at home 64-59. And once again, even matchup, Anderson, going to be a tough battle, like always. Greenfield Central, if Pendleton Heights wins against Anderson, they will play Greenfield Central 10-11 on the year. Pendleton Heights would go on to beat them earlier in the year 63-45 at home. And then on the other side of the bracket, we're just going to talk about all the teams that we have a chance of playing in sectionals. We have Richmond next. Not the greatest year for Richmond. Obviously, a rebuild year for them, losing a bunch of seniors in their last year's class. They are 6-18 on the year, but obviously, sectionals is where it matters. And then you have Muncie Central, who Pendleton Heights just beat. They are standing at 10-10 now. Muncie Central, Richmond, definitely going to be a matchup to watch. And then Mount Vernon, of course, the last team. They are standing at 20-3, third in the state. 64th in the nation, according to Max Preps. They are just having a phenomenal year, led by Luke Girdle.
Mm-hmm. The Purdue commit also plays quarterback, or played quarterback for Mount Vernon. He's what a specimen. What an athlete. Purdue, again, fantastic basketball program. He's averaging 24.2 points, 6.7 rebounds, and 10 assists. So he's averaging a double-double, or 10 rebounds, excuse me. Averaging a double-double and 2 steals on top of that. He has scored 556 points this year alone.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think about. Max Vise also having a pretty good year after not playing much last year. But one thing to mention, Max Vise, he has not played since Mount Vernon played Pike on February 10th, where Mount Vernon lost to Pike 84-81 in a game that was loaded up with three-pointers. Luke Ertl, 28 points, 10 for 25 from the field, going 4 for 11 from 3. Mount Vernon made 19 out of 34 threes. And we go on to lose that game by 3 points.
Luke Girdle, again, worth mentioning. I don't know if he's actually played quarterback since his sophomore year, looking at Max Preps.
Yeah, I don't know if he has or not.
But anyway, nonetheless, what an athlete. Congrats to him on the Purdue commitment. Mount Vernon, again, he's leading a fantastic team that's only lost 3 games to teams like Fishers, Pike, and Crown Point. Fishers and Crown Point both being ranked top 3 in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, Luke Girdle just going absolutely berserk in his senior year. Also shooting 87% from the free throw line, 111 out of 128. So he's pretty much automatic anywhere you put him. But that will wrap things up here for this segment of the Arabians vs. Ivies Coaches Show. Of course, you were joined by the Davis Duo of Liam Davis and Benson Davis. We'll get you guys right back to the music right here on 91.7 WEEM.
Stay connected with what's happening around our campus and community by tuning in to WEEM Weekly, our amazing bi-weekly podcast posted every other Wednesday. Join the WEEM podcast staff as they interview influential figures of our community, school, clubs, and more. Listen anywhere you get your podcasts and watch the vodcast on our YouTube at WEEM Media. Get the information you need by listening to WEEM Weekly. Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. We greatly appreciate all of our donors and underwriters who help make this possible. This is 91.7 WEEM.